Welcome back to our Groundskeeper Chat series. I am your host, Meg Krueger, and we are live from Daytona Beach here at the SFMA conference. I am joined by my co-host, Mr. Christopher Bell.
Hello, hello.
And today we have our guest, Mr. Andy Ammon. He is back for a second time.
I am.
Professional Outdoor Solutions. And we're going to be talking all about building a brand, visibility in the industry, you know, what it's like to just be a part of this industry. You know, your story, your turf origin story is probably one of my favorites. I've got plenty of questions coming your way. But right before we started recording, you said you had a funny story about the double M in Ammon.
Yeah, so I went to University of Central Florida and played football.
Okay.
And I spent my entire freshman year as Andy Ammon.
Okay.
And one day in spring football, we're sitting there, and the guy whose locker was across me said, "Hey, Andy, why do they call you Ammon? You have two M's in your name." This guy was not real smart, right? Uh-huh. I said, "Well, actually, my last name is Ammon." He's like, "Well, why are you letting him call you Ammon?" I was like, "Because I'm a freshman."
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty obvious. I'm not going to go tell the coach, "Hey, you're wrong." So the next practice, every single coach called me by the right name and didn't even address it.
Oh, wow.
Didn't even address it. They just all of a sudden called me by the right name, didn't apologize, didn't say, "Hey, sorry." Just
the next practice. So that one kid just told all the coaches?
Yeah.
Really?
I love that.
Yeah. Because he wasn't so awesome. He wasn't so dumb after all, was he?
Well,
let me tell you where he is today.
I've actually often wondered where they today. But he's a great kid. I mean, he's a great kid, but he just had a rough life coming up.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had you in Savannah join us at the booth because your session made such an impression on me because of that turf origin story.
Yes.
You know, a dad working at the field and taking it, okay, well, I'm going to own this. I'm going to make this the best field that these kids play on. And then how that has evolved to where you are today. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was the ballpark. I grew up playing football. Like I said, my kids wanted to play baseball. I didn't know anything about baseball, but I figured I could coach. So I coached all the way up till they were 10 years old. And my now 29-year-old made the championship game.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the game won. Slow grounder going to the shortstop. We just needed one out. Game was over. We win the championship, and the ball went to the shortstop. Flew over his head. Two runs came in. We lost the game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I've got all these 10-year-olds crying who, I mean, I came out of the dugout with my hands in the air because this kid was the best shortstop in the league. Thinking, we're going to make this play. And I just remember how crushed those kids were. And I said, "What other sport does the athletic playing surface change the outcome of a game?"
Yep.
You know, and honestly, and I was like, I don't know what to tell these kids that are all upset now. I mean, they'll get over it in a couple of days, right?
But mm-hmm.
So then I started looking around, and I was like, well, you know, why did the ball bounce like that? This field's terrible. My front yard's kind of nice, so mm-hmm. maybe I can do something. So I started asking the questions. I had half a bag of fertilizer at home, and I snuck in the ball, climbed the fence at the ballpark. With a bag of fertilizer, threw it on the field by hand.
Oh, gosh.
I swear, it was that bad. I mean, the field was that bad. So then I was like, you know, it started just, man, it just snowballed from there. And I just asked a lot of questions.
Yep.
A lot of questions. And then realized that front yards and athletic surfaces are not the same thing.
Yeah.
By any stretch of the imagination. And it just was a lot of fun for me. And I had an amazing board of directors that just allowed me, just do what you're doing. Just keep going.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like I had an unlimited budget, but there was zero field maintenance program staff. So I put together a program. I said, "Can I hire a couple kids? Well, how much do you want to pay them?" I said, "What do the concession kids make? Let's do the same cost as the concession kids." Yeah. And it just started snowballing. And actually, our attendance or our league numbers went higher and higher as the fields got better and better.
Okay.
And it was pretty fun. There's a million stories I could tell that of great people that helped me along the way. So,
And I loved that it was, you know, how many parents can relate to that where they're like, "This feels like crap."
Oh,
like,
yeah.
But the fact that you've turned it into where, you know, it's your livelihood now, and how cool that is.
It is very cool. It took me 30 years to find my career that I wanted to be involved with, I guess. So. But the complex was actually a joke. Like mm-hmm. people would not play there because it was so bad and so dangerous. And so I started working on the field my kid was playing on and then the next one up.
Yeah.
And then the joke was, well, we know where Andy's kid's playing next year because that field's starting to look okay.
Yeah.
And again, I was just working with what I knew. And again, I had a couple great mentors and like, "You've tried this, you tried that." And I was like, "I'll give it a shot."
Yeah.
And it just snowballed. So, yeah.
Love that. And, you know, I think one thing you said is asking a lot of questions, asking for certain things, asking for resources. For somebody, you know, whether they're a parent and they're interested in doing this, or they're new to the gig, or they've just taken a promotion, how do they get over that barrier of just being scared to ask the question? Because no can seem so intimidating.
And that's something that I never worried about was no. Because the worst answer is no. And it's always going to be no until you ask the question.
Yeah.
Right? There's never a time it's not no unless you ask the question. So we thought we had, in fact, we talked about closing down one of the fields in the board because we didn't have enough playing players. And it ended up being field of the year. But we're like, if we just shut that field down, we don't have any maintenance on it. You know, we don't have enough players. Maybe we should put multiple base steps on all this stuff. And I was like, what if we did this? And okay, give it a shot. So, I mean, I got my irrigation system by asking a question on a whim.
Mm-hmm.
I got my new LED scoreboards by asking a question on a whim. So, Larry DeVito in front of us, I got to meet him on a whim just by saying, hey, would you guys send me to a conference to learn a little bit more about this? And they sent me up there. I walked in this place. I had no idea what I was doing. And sit down at lunch as Larry DeVito sits down next to me and introduces himself. And
yeah, I love that.
It was 20 years ago at least. So yeah.
Then you said he gave you his card and you're like, well, I'm never going to he's never going to respond to me. And turns out he invited you out and got to learn on the fly.
Yeah,
Free labor.
The answer is no, right?
Yeah.
He said, contact me. And I sat down, I wrote that email about four or five different times and deleted it. And I was like, what the heck? And I just hit send. And I'm within an hour, I got a response back from him and sent me his phone number. And I'd send him pictures. And this was so long ago, you had flip phones, right?
Yeah.
And you're sending pictures and saying, hey, what do I do about this? What do I do about that?
It's amazing to me the number of stories in this industry that where someone just had the guts just to ask.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then people are so happy to help.
This the camaraderie in sports turf management is unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, Leah said it earlier today and we all said it. I could ask that guy. I don't know who he is, but I'd ask him what he does and does he know, can he help me out? And he'd be like, yeah, let's sit down and let's talk. Right.
Sure.
All right. Ask that guy or that girl.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd all sit down and help you out because we're all in this together, which is, I've always been an athlete and a competitive person and there's competition, but it's friendly competition.
Yeah.
Right. And then when you do something right, you want to share that in this industry. It's not like you hide that to yourself. You're like, I tried something different on the mounds or I tried something different on the infield and this worked really well. And, I want more people to try this to see if it works for me. So,
It's the lifeblood of what makes us so unique and really why it translates perfectly for an athlete to stay in the game through this industry.
It does, 100%. And I'm sitting here today with an artificial knee from a very bad football field that I completely blew my knee out on.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm in this industry, I think back to that and said, my foot did slip out as I was making a cut.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting here with a fake knee. And now, I don't know. We'll never know the answer.
Sure.
But if that was a nice field, could it have been saved?
Mm-hmm.
But we were on a crappy practice field just playing, and that was the end of my career.
Terrible.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Well, bring us up to present day. You know, you go from parent to turf enthusiast to, running a few fields at the complex to, making that complex a community treasure to where we are today with Professional Outdoor Solutions.
Yeah. So the story about Professional Outdoor Solutions, again, was one of those on a whim thing. I went to a Toro, sorry to use brands, but I went to a Toro event and sat down and lunch. Apparently there's a common theme with eating.
Yeah.
These two guys sat across from me and said, hey, we're thinking about getting into sports turf. And I said, well, I'm kind of in it, but I don't know really what I'm going to kind of know what I'm doing, but I don't know the grass side of things as well as like you guys did. Mm-hmm. They said, well, we ought to talk. So we just kind of stayed in touch with each other and a high school called us and we all got together. It's the first time we kind of did a project. We're like, this is really working well for us.
No kidding. Those two guys I met with you last night.
Yes.
That was over lunch. Oh, my gosh.
Never had met them in my life.
That's crazy.
And we wrote down numbers on napkins and handed it back and forth. And they said, hey, Peoria Notre Dame, which is a high school in Central Illinois, called us and said, hey, you guys know, somehow we got your name or from my complex. That's how they got me. One of their kids played at my complex and we need help on our baseball field. And I was like, well, I can't do that all myself. So I called these guys and said, yeah, let's go do it.
Incredible.
So we loaded up trailers with whatever we could find. Just went over there and
just give it a shot. See what happens.
Honestly. And they were thrilled. So then Alan, a few years ago, I think, gosh, it's probably more than a few. It's probably four now. Said his golf course was kind of floundering. He wasn't happy with his management. And he said, yeah. I'm jumping. And he to this day will say, I felt like I jumped off a cliff without a parachute.
Wow.
And he's like, we got to do this. And the story about how we got our equipment is kind of fun too. But and then Ben just this last year jumped full time as well.
Yeah.
He was 20 years at the same golf course. Loved the members, loved his crew, loved his staff, but he was just kind of burned out from the day one. And he said he doesn't miss a day of it.
Huh.
Misses some of it, right?
Yeah.
But that's the, you know, plowing a parking lot on Thanksgiving morning when he should be with his family.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to do that anymore.
No, so, it's new adventure and exciting, invigorating.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, and we've talked to a few guests today about, you know, what are the things, especially when, you know, it's the day in and day out of an operation. And since you guys are a little bit more project-based, you do have that ability to, you know, make it flexible. But what are the things that, you know, fuel you? Like, what's that fire that you see in the, what, like, is it people playing on the field? Or is it when parents, like, that light bulb, they're like, oh, this is what quality looks like. Like, what is that for you that really, like, fuels you to the next project?
Yeah, I think on the baseball side of things, at least for me, it was just watching kids show up to the complex. And I'd get kids lay on the grass and during warm-ups. And, you know, we're talking youth baseball. So they'd like, do little angels out there or roll around like a dog. And you know, and it was like, it's grass. And there are people that would feel it with their hand. And it was like, you know, that was kind of really fun. But then, when an umpire says to you, you know, we love umpiring at this field because there's never a bad hop.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always about safety, right? Safety from day one. The appearance comes last. And I think when you watch a game being played safe, being played fast, the players determine the outcome of the game. That's really cool. And now when we go to complexes, we just did a Division I softball field, and the maintenance guys were so giddy over the product that we were putting on the field.
So cool.
And the fact that it was going to be laser graded, and when it rained, it was going to be fine. And they just were fascinated by the project. And it was kind of neat just to teach them about what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first rain, sure enough, they called us and sent us a bunch of pictures going, look at this. This is great. So that's just satisfying people, I think, is a real big key
rewarding.
To it.
I love that.
Yeah, it is very rewarding. Very rewarding. So.
And, you know, you guys operate in, you know, your corner of the world. But how have you, you know, elevated that? You know, a lot of it is word of mouth, I'm sure.
Yes.
Like you said, people just, you know, the proof is in the product. But, you know, how do you kind of elevate that brand or making it its own living, breathing thing so that I can pay the bills at the end of the day?
Right. Well, we probably haven't done the best job of marketing, but it's almost intentional. We wanted to grow slow and grow precise. And that's kind of been our motto this whole time is you see companies that spin off and they go out and buy a whole bunch of equipment right away. And then they try to sell what they bought.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of going about the reverse approach a little bit to it. We are good at what we do, and we don't apologize for our prices, and we do back up our product.
Yep.
And we always say we're the BMW or the Porsche of what we do. So, you know, we get these high school fields and I told you this. I think I told you this story last night, right? So a soccer complex wants us to come and put a new soccer field in, and we gave them a price. Wow, that's really expensive. I said, yeah, I mean, it is, but we're going to do it right. And they said, well, we probably ought to get a bid from a landscape company.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, great. So are you going to hire basketball coaches to coach your kids then?
I love it.
I mean, like, honestly, so if you want a sports field to play sports on, you need to hire a sports turf manager.
Yeah.
And there's it's interesting because the board of this complex was 100% against it at first. And now I'm starting to talk to them and realizing what we can do and why we do things.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, you guys like really think about how the cleat interacts with the grass
and
you know, and how to regenerate goal miles and how to,
there's a reason behind that quote. It's not just to upcharge you for fun.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So if you want it done and done right and guaranteed, then call us.
Right.
And honestly, we just left it at that. And hopefully they call us. I don't know. It'd be great if they did. So,
And how much of your job really is that? Is explaining the why
and really just having
to bring people into the fold of what this profession is.
Yeah, it's tough because it's so passionate, right? And that's, again, it's something about this industry is how passionate we are. And There's no shortage of ego in athletics.
Yeah.
Whether you're an athletic director, whether you're a coach, whether you're a sports turf manager, whether whatever. And, you know, some of these coaches and some of these organizations think they know what they know, and it's hard to convince them otherwise.
Yeah.
Right. And I will be the first to admit I'm not the greatest at it. And it's something that I work on constantly, just not blurting out at your mouth saying you're wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot about the synthetic field world that's coming around. And I mm-hmm. think there's a great use for synthetic turf in places. Mm-hmm. But I think that there is not a good use for synthetic turf in other places.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's interesting. It's just, I don't even remember what your original question was.
Well, just explaining that why, and you answered it perfectly, just that, you know, it can be frustrating at times to have to do it over and over again. But if someone's not doing it, then it's not happening.
Yeah. And you hear of high schools that somehow have $3 million to put a synthetic turf in, whatever the price is. Yeah. I don't know what the price is. Right. Synthetic turf in. And I was like, you know what you could pay me for the next 10 to 20 years and have a natural grass. And you know what? If I need to replace the natural grass field, I can still do it and stay under your budget.
Yeah.
And the school's like, we don't have money. You know, so you give them bids. Oh, we don't have money. Well, you do have money because you want to put a plastic field in. And it's just a different pocket of money or a donor or something. So now we're trying to think, you know, how do we get to those donors ahead of time and say, hey, would you like your name on a safer field? And again, there's places for synthetic. There's places for natural grass as well. So
a lot of education. And,
yes.
It's keeping up with the Joneses, too, for some of the facilities, schools.
Who was it that I heard today? They said not keep up with the Joneses, but be the Joneses.
There you go.
Right? And somebody said that today, and that stuck with me because I'm like, you know, other than my little private youth baseball complex, we have not really – we've had a couple fields that we can showcase. Mm-hmm. We take care of University of Illinois' practice football field, which is great, and we help – Dan Thomas with a softball field who won field of the year. But you talk to these youth facilities or these high, well, we don't need a college level field, but you can. That's what they don't get. And when you over say, you know, we put this product in Target Field. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't need Target Field, but it's the same stuff.
Yeah.
And that's so then you got to learn to educate yourself down. Right. And just say, hey, I've got a product. So it's so that's the interesting thing is trying to meet the level.
Finding what resonates with them, you know.
I had one very small high school that wanted their skinned 90-foot infield laser, or they wanted it improved. And I said, well, what do you want to do? And we're talking. And they're like, what do you think it's going to cost? And I, you know, gave them a number close to six figures. And they said, well, we've got about $2,500 in our pocket. What can you do for that? I was like, well, not much. Right. Yeah. I can bring some hand rakes out and move it around. And so it's just the education, like you said, of not knowing what goes into it.
Sure.
Yeah. And the equipment. I mean, look around this room. It's just the specialized equipment is just so insanely expensive. Yes. And it's grown exponentially over the last 3 or 4 years, for sure.
Definitely.
And the technology keeps advancing too much.
Yeah. I mean, the stuff we use today is I remember grading my first field with strings. Mm-hmm. I had a guy in the infield and a guy in the outfield, and I drew a paint circle in the grass or in the dirt, and I went to the next spot and we throw some dirt in here and screedboard it across. Now I got a machine. I press a couple buttons on it and I drive it around and it's great.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what? That thing was really expensive, so it better be going all the time. So
yeah. And how much of what you do is really creating relationships with people in this room, and so that, you know, you may not be using their product every day on the field, but if you need that consultation or you need somebody to call on the phone, how much of that, like, how That's important huge. Is that? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's enormous. There's nobody, as I said earlier, there's nobody in this room I wouldn't be afraid to ask a question to. And you know, there is some competition among product types. You know, you get the Dundeer and your Toro guys and whatever. But everybody's here in the same respect. They all want to work together. So just leaning on, I know somebody did, Leah just did her a complete minor league renovation, right?
Yes.
And so did Keith Winters. Mm-hmm. Well, we're about to do a synthetic, or not a synthetic field, a minor league field. And we're working with the company on it. And I, so, you know, I'm going to call those guys up and I, you know, 5 years ago, I'd probably been nervous, but now, yeah. now I'm like, I'm going to call Lee up and say, hey, what did your contractor do that you liked and you didn't like?
Yep.
And tell me so I can be a better contractor. And I've already hit her up and she's like, yeah, give me a call anytime. I'd love to talk to you about it. So, you know, and you just feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about that. Just engaging not only on social media, but just tapping into the power of this community.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you are in your own corner of the world, how you can utilize social media. I love what you guys did. You did that series on
the 25 Days of Christmas.
Yeah. And just, it was, you know, an education piece. It was a subtle promotion of what you guys do. Utilizing it to just, you know, whether that's building a network, recruiting people to the industry, or having people think of you as a thought leader, just how that can be impactful.
Yeah. We did that more for marketing than anything, to be honest with you, because there's so many people that don't know what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? People here understand what we do, right, at this level. But the local high schools, and they don't get it.
Yeah.
So we have enough local followers and enough local people. They're like, wow, you guys do putting greens? You guys do, you know, soccer fields? You guys do baseball fields?
Yep.
Yeah. So we've got a bunch of equipment that we need to stay busy. So it was really great. And it was neat to kind of showcase what we've done over the last year,
mm-hmm.
In hopes to bring more business and hope to bring more of awareness.
Yeah. I love it. It's just like a fun way to interact.
It is. And it's amazing. And the Twitter verse, as you said, right, or X or whatever it's called now is amazing, in the turf industry, in the golf side and the sports turf side. So I'm hoping it sticks around.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to go to LinkedIn.
I know.
Right.
It's shaky ground right now. But I'm like, we've got to hold our own. They can't take this from us. They already took away turf Twitter, which sounded so beautiful.
I know it did. It was kind of great. So, but you know, I learned a lot from you this morning. Thank you. You know, I don't think we're consistent enough about it. And I've been a self-appointed marketing CEO or chief marketing officer for a company, mm-hmm. self-appointed. So I'm like, wow, I need to be a lot more consistent about how to do this.
Well, again, there's no way that, and we've paid for services on our end where it's like, oh, this is the right time to send it. And literally every time you log in, that changes. Like, even if you wrote the same exact thing and like, say you logged out at that minute and just lost your post, you've restarted and it's giving you the same, like, cause I know this cause when I, went and scheduled all my maternity posts, you know, I was literally writing posts on the same day, every single day, like, and it would suggest a different time and different month and different day for each time I wrote the same. And I was like, okay, there's really no rhyme or reason, but I think that simple, just following a cadence that's sustainable. That's the biggest thing is, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket for 2 weeks and then be like, see ya. Like,
right. Well, exactly. And it's just keeping your name in the forefront of
for sure.
Yep. So, you know, a lot of, and the tagging was big to us. So whenever we do a high school, we tag their athletic department.
Love that.
Or we tag their, or we hashtag their name or whatever. Mm-hmm. We try to do that. And it's been neat to see that kind of filter down. And like you said, you can start to see the statistics behind it. Wow, that reached a lot of people.
Yeah.
Whether they know or not. You know, we did a high school and it got 50,000 people that actually viewed the post.
Yeah.
And you thought, wow, that's pretty cool. It's
pretty easy to get that reach.
Yeah, it is.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And well, and you know, talked a little bit about, you know, having your route to turf wasn't, you know, right out of high school or right out of college. So you had a lot of the skills coming to the tables. Like, you know, you had experience in other fields where, you know, you worked on that communication, you worked on the selling element of it. For the next generation or people that are struggling in that element, what are those tools that they need to be adding to their tool belt at this stage in the game, at this evolution of a groundskeeper, that you think, you know, beyond the grass, beyond the craft, that they need to have?
And I think it's, I think integrity is huge in everything that you do. I've always preached that to my kids. I've always said good things happen to good people, right? Oh, that's been, my dad preached that to me. I preached that to my two sons and now my two stepchildren. I preach that to them all the time. Doesn't always go through their head, but you know, but then I think it's a confidence, but not an arrogance, right?
Yeah.
So you got to be confident in what you do and you've got to be outgoing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to sell yourself because you're replaceable.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, groundskeepers used to think they did their job when nobody noticed them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly. Right. If I don't know who the groundskeeper is, well, then he's doing his job.
Yeah.
But I think we as an organization and SFMA has to get better at that. Mm-hmm. You can't watch a golf tournament, a PGA golf tournament on TV without them mentioning the superintendent.
Sure. Yep.
And talking about the type of grass they have and all that stuff. So somehow we've, and I'm on the advocacy committee, mm-hmm. and we've got to get sports announcers to do that.
Yeah.
We can't buy commercial space, yeah. right? We can't take out a Super Bowl ad, but it'd be really cool if somebody
mentioned.
Well,
they have to gain a passion for it almost. Correct. Like we have to have them buy into what we're doing.
Yeah.
And we just talked about that with Larry. Like he said the same exact thing, like on the golf side. You know, they always are talking about the superintendent. I shared with him at those big tournaments, they literally bring him a trophy.
Yes.
Like, and they give him his whole, they bring him a trophy before they even crown the winner. Like, it's incredible. And how do we replicate that in our
right.
industry?
Yes. And I think we're getting there. You know, we're behind golf, right? Golf has always been about beautiful grass and playability and all that stuff. And now the amount of money being spent in athletics and the expectations of athletics is we're just behind. I think yeah. we'll get there. Mm-hmm. I really do. But I think we need to get there quickly. Mm-hmm. I think the synthetic guys have done an amazing job marketing their products. Mm-hmm. And I think that the natural grass guys got to do a better job of it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what kind of starts here.
And you'll be holding the torch. Leading.
Darn right I will.
Leading the charge. Well, we really appreciate your time again.
Thank you.
I love talking with you. It's always a fun time.
Always fun.
Before we let you go, we're going to put you on the spot, but you're sneaking over here, so you know what's coming. You know, the weather report, what in the industry has you excited? What forecast out there, you know, has you hopeful for the future?
And I'm going to steal from Larry because I heard it earlier. It's just the whole getting youth involved.
Yep.
Right. So I've been thinking a lot about it in the last few weeks about, you know, this local high school that wants to put the synthetic field in. So let me go to that donor and let me ask if he can start, maybe we can do a turf grass program, or maybe we can get some students that will come in after hours and let's see how we can save the school some money by doing stuff with natural grass. And I think the advocacy committee, and all that stuff, I think is getting momentum and getting going. And I think that's it. And then the safety of issues. Right. So, we saw a lot of very key players in the NFL get hurt. One coach said something interesting to me at one point in time. She said, it's a coach that wanted to put a synthetic softball field in outfield. And she said, well, softball players don't get hurt like football players do. And I said, you want to bet? Mm-hmm. Right. I wanted to say that. I didn't. But that's how made up her mind was. But
yeah.
So it's a thing across there, because they didn't talk about temperature and all that stuff. And I couldn't even go down that road with her because she didn't want to hear it. So I think it's the education. I think it's just being proud of who we are and what we do.
Definitely.
I think Larry should be on TV.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think the pregame wet down, there ought to be a camera on him.
Yeah.
And sometimes he's behind the scenes, but they ought to mention his name.
Yeah.
And those type of things. So.
Couldn't
those
agree
guys,
more.
Those guys, you know, work their tails off day in and day out for nothing. And some of them don't want to be there, but I think we need to be more extroverted than introverted.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. Well, yeah, and you would look at someone like Larry and be like, oh, he's an introvert. We put him on, you know, we got him on the headset and he's so eloquent. So, you know, he can talk his own. So,
yeah,
it's not something we should shy away from anymore.
Right. Agree.
Definitely.
Agree. So. Be proud of who we are.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much again.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure and it's always fun.
Always fun.
Thank you.
Thank you.